Amen. All right. I want to say, first of all, thank you for GatewayJubilee.com. We were not able to be here this year for Jubilee. I think it's the second time I've missed in about 18 years. But I thank God that we were able to, when the situation we were in permitted, we were able to watch the Jubilee online. And I tell you, y'all had a meeting. And I really enjoyed it, enjoyed the preaching, enjoyed the singing. And then my wife had a brother in the hospital, so that was the reason, part of the reason we couldn't be here. But she did send her regards tonight. I wish you'd pray for her. She has a little bit of a respiratory condition. Don't know exactly what it is. We spent most of the evening, about 2 days after Christmas, in the emergency room. I thought she was having a heart attack, but it turned out to be a great deal of anxiety and stress, and we discovered while she was there that the treatment she was receiving for asthma was not being done properly, and so we've had to go see a pulmonary specialist, and she's been there already. They've ruled out COPD. They're even questioning now she has asthma, don't know what it is. So I'm going to be on the road the next 3 weeks, and so she's not able to be with me. That's why she's not here tonight, because she has some other tests that need to be run. So I appreciate if you'd pray for my wife and pray for me as I'll be on the road, I said, these next 3 weeks, and looking forward to being in some meetings with God. Looking forward to mission school. It was supposed to start tomorrow, but they're expecting snow in Robbinsville tomorrow and Tuesday, so we backed it up to Wednesday. So we're just looking forward to that week of doing that. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I want to say I appreciate Pastor Shelton giving me this opportunity to be a part of this service, part of this occasion for the life of Brother Jeff. Been a long time coming, Jeff, but it's finally here. And we crossed paths some time ago, and the Lord allowed me and Brother Jeff to work together there in the office the better part of these last 8 or 9 years. And I appreciate the service that he has given to the Lord and to Prayer Baptist Missions. God called him, as I understand it, a long time ago to be a church planter out west. But because of the situation with Prayer Baptist, they asked him to help them out a little bit first, and that little bit's turned into almost 10 years. But I believe God has used this time to prepare Brother Jeff and his family for what they're facing. And so I thank God tonight that we're able to be here and be a part of that. Let me just say this. This is a serious time. God calls men. And we find in studying the scripture that God set forth some things to be done, how to lay hands on people and do that. This is what we're doing tonight has been going on for about 2,000 years. It's always been a serious matter. And I appreciate Pastor Shelton inviting these young men that have been called to preach to come in today and see what took place. That'll help them get prepared. I thank God for the young men that's being called. And I believe there's some more coming. But this is a very serious time in the house of God and in the local church. And may I say also, it's a very solemn time. Church, we are and have tonight laid our hands on a man that we believe God has called out of our midst, and that he has prepared himself to go and do the work God's called him to. Now we as a collective body of believers, we have come tonight to put our endorsement on this man and his family. And so we have an obligation on our part. We may say more about that in just a moment. But this is a serious matter, and it's also a solemn time. And though many people preach, they like to preach different types of messages, but this one tonight is to be taken seriously. May not be a shout message, but I trust it'll be a message that'll help you as a church and will be a challenge and a help to Brother Jeff and his family as they make preparations to move in the Phoenix, Arizona area and preach the Word of God and build churches there. If you would, stand to your feet, please, as I begin to read the Word of God. I want to read beginning in chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 12. This is the Apostle Paul writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to a young man named Timothy, who is being installed also into the ministry. He says in verse number 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear." When Brother Shelton asked me to be a part of this service, this text immediately came to my mind, and the Lord spoke to my heart on this thought right here in verse number 14, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." So tonight, the Lord being our helper, as a help to Brother Jeff and as a help to you as a church, I'm going to preach on this thought, neglect not. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we bow before you. Lord God, we thank you tonight for mercy and grace and for your goodness to us. Lord, I realize tonight that I'm nobody and I'm nothing. Lord, what needs to be done here, Lord, needs somebody a whole lot greater than I am to do this. But Lord, you saw fit for me to be here tonight, be a part of this. God, I beg for the touch of the Holy Ghost of God tonight. Lord, I don't want to be mean, but I want to be straightforward. God, I want to say some things tonight that will be pleasing to you, and be a help to this church and a challenge to Brother Jeff and his family. And I pray, oh God, your help during this hour, Lord, that you would be exalted, glorified, and magnified. Thank you for everyone that's come this way. Lord, I may not be preaching a direct salvation message, but I pray, dear God, there's one here tonight that knows not the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, oh God, the Spirit of God would finger around their heart, help them to realize that all we're doing here tonight is about the salvation of souls. And I pray, oh God, they'd come and be saved by your marvelous grace. Bless Brother Jeff and his family. God, make this a special time for them. And I thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul is giving instruction to the young man of God, and he already told him over there in chapter number 3 these things he said right here, verse 15, "But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, pillar and ground of truth." So we find that Paul is giving some instructions, and he takes this very seriously. Now, Brother Jeff, tonight the Lord has put my mind on 4 simple things that I want to share with you tonight that I hope will be a challenge to you. Some things as a man of God that you need to be aware of and be reminded. I know you're already aware of, be reminded of them. That's some things that you ought not to neglect in your ministry for the Lord. Amen. And first of all, I'd say this, you ought not to neglect, now watch this, the faith. If you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 4 again. And this passage was read by Brother Stewart when he was handing things over to Brother Davy. And I believe it's also read it at Brother Stewart's homegoing service. But it says here in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse number 7, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Now watch this. "I have kept the faith." Now he didn't say, "I have kept faith." He didn't say, "I have kept my faith," but he said, "I have kept the faith." And I believe when you think about that word, that phrase, "the faith," is talking about that whole body of doctrine that's in the Bible regarding God and His Son and the Holy Spirit and the church. It's that whole body of doctrine that the Bible gives us. Jude said it this in Jude 3, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." May I say right here that it said there it was once delivered. That is, at one time and for all time, this doctrine was once delivered. Brother Jeff, there'll be no new doctrines. You have the doctrines of this Bible, the doctrines that were set forth by God Himself, and we are not to neglect those doctrines, amen. In fact, I find here that as I think about the Apostle Paul, it was Apostle Paul that he really perceived the faith. In Galatians 1, 11, 12, he said this, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And I got news for you. There's a lot of folk out there saying they're getting some new revelation, but I got news for you. There's no new revelation. There's a lady out there who claims to be a preacher, and she just had a revelation that God is about to bring all Christendom under one umbrella. Well, I got news for her. That's going to happen. But the saints of God ain't all going to be a part of that, amen. The world, this Christendom might be, but the church of the living God's not going to be a part of that mess, amen. So Paul finds here that Paul perceived this faith. In other words, God showed the Apostle Paul what the fundamental faiths of the Christian church ought to be, and he received those from God. I'll say this, Brother Jeff, you won't be able to do this, but Paul also, he penned the faith. I find as I read in the New Testament there, 10 times in the writings of Paul, he said, "I write." And we find that he penned the Word of God. He penned the faith that we would stand on today, amen. And then thirdly, I find that Paul protected the faith. Now listen, as men of God, as preachers of the gospel, we have an obligation, like the Apostle Paul had, that we are to protect the faith. Don't let anybody destroy this fundamental faith that we stand on, that we get straight out of the Word of God. Don't let anybody change it. Don't let anybody alter it. We are to protect the faith. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 11, he said, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed." Peter was about to go in the wrong direction on this thing of fundamental faith. He was about to compromise on circumcision and uncircumcision. And Paul, being a man of God and chosen of God to pen these words, he withstood Paul to his face. And there comes time when a man of God, he has to withstand somebody that comes in with some kind of false doctrine or wants to change things or try to quote-unquote improve it. Like, no, sir, we are to protect the fundamental faith and stand strong on what this Bible says and let nobody change it for convenience or any other reason. Jeff, you're going out there in an area where they don't know much about the faith. You'll probably have run into people of all kinds of persuasions. They'll have heard things that the Bible says, and it'll be your job as a man of God to, like the Apostle Paul, protect that. And when they come with that false doctrine, you stand strong on the Word of God and your faith in God, and you defend the faith of God as any man of God ought to. So we find that Paul perceived faith. Paul penned faith. Paul protected the faith. I'm going to tell you something else Paul did. Paul preached the faith. Hey, it's good to have orthodoxy. It's good to know what you believe and why you believe it and all that kind of stuff. But I got news for you. Just knowing it ain't enough. The Apostle Paul, he had that orthodox faith. But I tell you what, he preached the faith. In fact, Acts 20 and 31 says this, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years," he said, "I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we just read here, he said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season," he said. So Paul said, "Preach the word." And straightway it says that he preached. When Paul got saved over in Acts chapter number 9, and they sent him down to Damascus to meet that fellow there who was baptized, the Bible says, and straightway, I mean, as soon as he got saved, as soon as he got baptized, it says straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. That's some of the faith, amen. And he preached the word of God. In Acts chapter 9, verse 27, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Acts 10 and 37, thy word I say you know, that word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism, John preached. He preached 12 times in the book of Acts. It says that Paul preached Christ, or he preached Jesus, or he preached the gospel. And I'll tell you, Brother Jeff, you're not going to pin the word of God, but God's going to show you his word. You ought to protect the word of God, but most of all, as a missionary and a church planter, it'll be your job to preach the faith once delivered unto the saints. So I say, Brother Jeff, tonight, neglect not the faith. Secondly, tonight, I would say, neglect not your friends. I want to show you something, if I can find it here right quick. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Now watch this. With the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Brother Jeff, some of your friends today, your pastor, myself, Brother Bill Adair, your father-in-law, Brother Tim, as your friends, we got around you, we examined you, and we have laid our hands on you. And so you have an obligation to your church and to your pastor and to the men of God that have put their hands on you, and these people here in this house tonight who have unanimously given their consent for you to be a missionary sent out by this church. You are not to neglect your friends. Remember those that laid their hands on you. Remember those that ordained you. Remember those that support you. Neglect not those that have prayed for you. Neglect not those that have taught you. Neglect not those that have advised you. Neglect not those that have encouraged you. And neglect not those from time to time who've had correct you. You have friends in the ministry. Now, I believe Paul was a faithful friend to those men around him. He rebuked those when he had to, but thank God they got restored, amen. And so I find tonight that you need to not neglect those that had a part in your life of getting you to this place. But I say most of all, neglect not the sweetest and best friend you ever had, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thirdly, let me say this. Paul said, neglect not. I say, neglect not the field. You see, God in his providence has put a call on your life and the life of your family. You have surrendered to him, and God has called you to go to a place where there's very little gospel been preached. And God has laid on you the burden of this call to go to that area and to preach them the free salvation of God so that many of them have never heard. So let me say this. This is a place, the place God has called you, it's a place that requires patience on your part. It means you'll have to be steady. It won't be like going down street in Spartanburg, South Carolina, where you can find a church on every corner and you can find a place to worship and a place to preach, but you're going to have to be patient. Those people are not going to embrace you like we would like for them to. It'll be an uphill battle, but you'll have to be patient with those people. They don't understand. Many of them never heard the gospel. Many of them have a perverted gospel, and you'll have to be a patient man of God to be able to, on that field, is a place that requires patience. May I say, secondly, about the field, it's a place that requires persistence. You'll have to be strong. You'll have to be determined. You'll have to realize that that a mission field like you're going to and the ministry God's called you to, there's no place for laziness, but it's a place that you must be determined, you must be strong, you must be willing to give and be persistent. Listen, it's going to look like you're going to get nothing done for a while. It's going to be an uphill battle, but you got to keep persisting. Keep going on and on and on for God and be strong in this place God has called you to. But may I say thirdly about the field, it's a place that requires perpetuity. Now, under this perpetuity, I wrote down three words. Number one, stay. Number two, stay. Number three, stay. Amen. When God calls a man, you're to go there and you're to stay there. I don't care how much you have to persist, how much patience you have to give, you must go and stay where God puts you. Do you know today that in 1950, there were more than 100,000 missionaries sent out from the United States of America? Today, there are less than 29,000. And only about 5,000 of them are what we call fundamental Baptist. And if that trend keeps going on the way it's going, by the year 2054, we'll have no missionaries on the mission field. So, Brother Jeff, I'm saying God has called you to a field, and you need to stay, stay, stay. It's a place of perpetuity. You ought to go out there with the attitude, this is where God has called me to, and unless God does something there, I'm going to spend the rest of my life building churches and reaching people for the glory of God in Phoenix, Arizona. It's a place that requires perpetuity. You have some examples set before you, sitting right over here behind you, your father-in-law, 30 years as a missionary. How many years in Scotland, brother? 20 years in Scotland. Wasn't no easy thing. He never built a big cathedral. But I'll tell you what he did. He was persistent. He was patient. And he stayed in perpetuity until God told him he had to leave. There's an example for you to follow, Brother Jeff. I think about another example. A fellow we all know by the name of Ray Stewart. For all these years, he's been your pastor. I believe you were saved under his ministry. He's been an example what it is to serve God, to give yourself to God. In times of ill health, he kept on serving. Boy, in times of adversity, he kept on serving. I've seen Brother Ray one time sitting in my office and somebody had said some disparaging words to him and it broke his heart and he wept in front of me, but he kept on going. Amen. I made him say several times, I just can't find a place to quit. Yeah. You have an example of Ray Stewart. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, there's another example I think about, Brother Jeff, when I think of missions. A lady by the name of Margaret Stringer. 40 years in Irian Jaya. Had to listen to the language of the people. They didn't have a written language. She had to listen and learn to speak and then to be able to talk in their language. And then she took what she learned by that and wrote out and gave them an alphabet for their language and wrote their words and gave them syntax to make sentences and wrote a dictionary in their language just so she could translate the New Testament. What do you say? I'm going to say she's a shining example of all that adversity, living out there in the jungle and facing things that most of us have never, but she kept right on serving God. She had a field that God had called her to, and she stayed on that field until the work was done, her call. So, Jeff, you have a field. Don't neglect it. Be patient. Be persistent. And stay there and serve God. Then I'll give you one other, Brother Jeff. I think probably the most important thing I'll say tonight to you in this matter of don't neglect. Certainly don't neglect the faith. Don't neglect your friends. Don't neglect the field of service. But whatever you do, Brother Davies already mentioned this, don't neglect your family. The Bible says, I believe it's in the book of Titus, that a man that will not take care of his family has denied the faith and worse than an infidel. Your family is about to experience things they've never experienced before. They're going to a place, it may still be in America, but friends, it's a different kind of place. Not everywhere in America is alike. There will be some culture shock. There'll be some things in Arizona that your family has grown accustomed to that they won't have. There won't be a youth choir initially where your children can enjoy singing the praises of God. There won't be initially that Sunday school class where your children are among friends that they've grown to know and to love. And so they're going to be out there experiencing things they've never experienced before. Your wife has a network of friends here at Gateway that bless one another and help one another and just there for one another. You won't have that when you get to Arizona. So I'm saying that you need to be careful and not neglect. I wrote this down. Don't neglect family fellowship. Fellowship with your family before you ever fellowship with anybody else's family. Your family gets the first fellowship. It's your family. God gave them to you before He called you. God gave them and God instituted the family before He instituted the church. And I'm telling you, it's good to have church. It's good to have church fellowship. But you give your family fellowship. There ought to be some neglect, not family fidelity. That is, your family ought to be placed above every family. I believe Brother David mentioned that back there in ordination, but there will be times you'll have families that will have needs in the church and in the ministry, but they cannot interfere with the faithfulness to you and your... They're important. They need to be done, but your family needs you first. Give them what they need. Meet their needs before you meet the church family needs. Because it's the only family you got. God gave you that family. I wrote this, the family friendship. Brother Jeff, the greatest friend in the world you have is not another missionary. It's not another preacher. It's not another pastor. It's not a brother in Christ. The greatest friend you have in the ministry and in this world is sitting right there. That is your best friend. You treat her like you would a best friend. You see to it that her needs are met. She is your other half. Do more with her than you do with any other person. God puts you two together and you two became one flesh, and she is your friend and he is your friend, and y'all stick together just like glue. Do for her what she needs doing. The Bible says we're to dwell with them according to knowledge. As long as you've been married, you ought to know her by now. You know what she needs. Every once in a while, she'll just need to get out of the house, get some relief, and go to the mall, and if not spending money, just walk around and just look. She has to, just to have some me time. She'll need that just like you do. And then, don't neglect your family. Remember, don't neglect your duty as the father of a family. Invest more in your children than anybody else's children. What profit, Jeff, would it be if you were to win a whole city for God? Or if you were to win a whole community for God? Or perhaps you could even win a whole continent for God, but you lose your own children? What's it worth? I'm saying tonight, Jeff, God said to me, speak to you tonight, neglect not these gifts that God has given you. Stay strong in the faith. Amen. Stay faithful to your friends. Stay persistent on the mission field. But in doing it all, don't ever neglect the wonderful family God has given to you. Father, in Jesus' name we bow before you. God, I thank you tonight. Lord, I tried my best to deliver and to say what I felt you wanted me to say. Lord God, tonight, we are privileged, Lord, to be servants of God. And Lord, what a joy it is to be able to lay our hands, put our endorsement on another man of God, and send him out to preach the gospel in the regions beyond us. Oh God, tonight I do pray for Brother Jeff and Miss April, and those six children. And I pray, oh God, you'd put a hedge about them. God, use them for your glory. God, I pray you'd give Jeff, Lord, just another world's wisdom in being able to do the ministry that you've called him to do out yonder in Phoenix. Lord, we've been there. Many, many thousands, yea, Lord, millions of people, God, that need to hear the truth of God's word. Lord, you've put a burden on Jeff's heart. Go out there and be that shining light. Tell them the good news. God, I pray you'd protect him. God, I pray he'd stay in the faith. And, oh, God, he'd not neglect the things of God. But, oh, God, he'd stay persistent and just doing what you've called him to do. And I pray, oh, God, tonight, more than anything, that he would give attention to his family. Because we realize, God, tonight, if he loses his family, he loses everything. So, God, give him wisdom. Use him mightily for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Pastor, you come.